Good morning, good morning. I have Moj, our second, up here with me right now. We think she's getting sick and going downhill very quickly. So Shelby ran home and to grab some stuff, and she's going to be back, and I'm going to hand her back off, but she's going to hang out with me for a little bit because I couldn't even set her down on the table back there and stand next to her without her crying. So we're just going to hang out, and I think Jen Smith has her other kid right now. So anyway, it takes a village, right? So anyway, my name's Josh, for those of you who don't know, which most of you do, and I'm not a pastor here. So if you really have issues with anything that I said, you can talk to Brandon about it. This is week two of three talking about media, and this time we're going to talk a little bit more about data, some stats. Last week was just kind of hopefully get you guys to be a little bit more introspective and kind of think about some things. And then next week we're going to talk about intimacy with God. So as week three. So anyway, let's go ahead and pray. God, I just thank you for who you are. I just pray that we would be a church of people that seek after you and believe that you're good. To believe that you're the answer to things. And God, we want to seek your face, seek to understand your heart. God, we just want to be people that pursue the mind of God as something, your thoughts, believe those are valuable, those are things to be cherished, that believe that ultimately a relationship with you is really what's going to matter when this world's all said and done. So, God, I pray you'd help us all to understand them more. Help me to understand that more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. All right. So we're going to start. We're going to read a couple of verses. And the other thing is sort of to set the tone. Hey, you want to go to Mama? Yeah. Kiddo. We were sick for like a month. I'm not even kidding. A month was not an exaggeration. And I was like, so the last week and a half or 2 weeks, we've been pretty in good health in the Meyer household. And so if we're getting sick again, that would be discouraging. For me and for my wife. Okay, so first verse we're going to look at, 1 John 2, 5-17. I think we might have referenced this one last week, but I just want to put it in our brain again. Give me a second to turn there, if you would like. I might. We need it out of here. I'm not actually sure. Okay. 1 John 2, it's page 862. It's towards the back. All right. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away. But the man who does the will of God lives forever. Okay, it's a cool verse, amazing. But I think in today's age, I think we've always struggled as the human race to not love the world. But I think in today's age, it's actually harder in some ways, just because we can get so bombarded. If you go back, 100 years, even, you could only really see signboards to tell you what the world should look like for you. There was no TV, radio wasn't really a thing for everybody. It just was way less to tell you, hey, this is what you should love. This is what you should like. So you would still love the world. There's a reason why that's in here back when they didn't have any of those things. But now we supposedly spend more time on social media than we spend eating, and we spend cleaning ourselves. We spend more time just getting inundated with stuff. You go, well, that probably changes how hard it is for us to not love the world. Facebook is one of the most regular causes of envy. Uh-huh. Oh, sorry, it was too easy. Yeah. Right? And we all kind of know that. One of the things that was interesting is I was researching this more, and I really enjoy chances to sort of get to dive deep into things and like figure out how this actually works and what's actually going on, because we all have our thoughts and kind of our common knowledge that may or may not be true. Actually getting to look into why half of the studies about social media say it's a positive thing and others say that you're going to turn into a narcissistic train wreck if you use it. Why those two exist and getting to understand that. Getting to understand what is the deal that it's positive. We get these dopamine things and it makes us happier, but yet as we use it more, it doesn't. It was interesting getting a chance to say it was really fun. But anyway, I think we have a love of the world. It's harder now. And it's easy to just listen to things and fill up our time with stuff. I think Sean was telling me, Devin is who he said, is that guy. You're in the film program? Nice. Are you almost done? Last semester? Okay, FMP or FPR? FPR, okay. So you're working on your final project? Nice, cool. Hope that goes really well. I guess you ride your bike to school and you started praying. You're going to try praying for a week instead of listening to stuff, what Sean told me. Have you tried that yet? How was that? You can tell me it sucked and it didn't make a difference. That's fine. But mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, well, that's good. Nice. Thanks for sharing that. You didn't know I was going to call you out. So, okay. Next verse I want to stick in our brains is we go through Psalm 62, and I'm going to read a little bit of that. So, if you want to turn to that, read along if you'd like. 409 in the house Bibles. Psalm 62. Again, as we're engaging with media, this is kind of the other thing I want to re-drill home. Psalm 62. My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I'll never be shaken. And I'm going to skip to verse 5. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to Him, for God is our refuge. Lowborn men are but a breath. The highborn are but a lie. If weighted on a balance, they are nothing. Together, they are only a breath. Do not trust in extortion or take pride in stolen goods, though your riches increase. Do not set your heart on them. One thing God has spoken, two things I've heard. Thank you, O God, you are strong, and that you, O Lord, are loving. surely you will reward each person according to what he has done. And just as we're going after and talking about media in our world, that's ultimately what I want us to get out of this, is the understanding that a lot of times we go to even good things to find rest. I know I kind of said this last week, but I want to re-hit this. We go there to find rest, to find peace, to distract us from things that are hard. Oh, studying is tough, so I find a distraction. Oh, this relationship is hard, I go here. We do these things to find rest, but what we don't do is go and find rest in God. I think sometimes we can even go so far as to find rest in knowledge about God, but not actually with God. We'll actually distract ourselves with really good things like sermons or commentaries, but we actually won't go sit with God himself. We miss chances to wonder and to awe at God, even as we're spending time around him. Just as it would be a little bit odd if you were married and you spent the majority of your time reading books about your spouse. You go, that's a little weird. You should go hang with them. Or having other people study your spouse and then report back to you what you need to know. Now, it's really good. There's guys that have studied the Bible a lot and women that have studied the Bible a lot have remarkable insight that you can get counsel from, and that's good. But just in your own mind, in your own heart, just kind of take a little like analysis of that. Like, how much of my time am I actually spending with God, where it's me and him, versus how much time am I spending hearing other people's thoughts about God? And obviously, dedicate yourself to teaching. Okay, this is all balance. I don't want to obviously just like get rid of, but just kind of look at it. Just what's your ratios there? And just ask that question. Okay, so find rest in God. Don't love the world. Okay, we're going to play a video. Nate or Nick, I'm not sure which one of you guys are driving. And Isaac, if you could turn the lights off, that'd be awesome. We're going to play a commercial here that I hope will kind of showcase, if it works, how complicated our relationship is with technology and social media, or can be. I always love whenever it's not just here. Every time I see videos try to get played on stage, it's always like sort of hard to get it to work, which I think is really funny with how much technology we have. You know how it's going to work? Okay, thanks. Okay, I'm just curious, what are some instant thoughts on that commercial? It's a Polish commercial. What are some instant thoughts on that? It's not really an exaggeration, okay? Okay. You reject how judgy it is. Okay, that's interesting. What is? Well, hold on. What is? Which one? Why? But they probably don't, like in that, they don't even have the option to be close to each other. He's, you know, thousands of miles away. So it's phony, so we judge it. We say it's phony, okay? Still phony, someone said. They're thousands of miles away, trying to stay in touch. Still phony, okay? Reject how judgy it is. Believe it was judging accurately. What else? There's not like a right or wrong here. Like if you're like, this hit me this way, either that's gross or whatever.
Well, in the beginning, I'm suspecting she's watching a video or into some news or into some website that she can't let go of.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
That's what my impression was.
Right. Yeah. Yep. It's not necessarily a super surprising twist, but it does subvert your expectations. So one thing I think is interesting about this commercial is that it can have a lot of different responses to it. This commercial is really well made. And it shows and highlights, I think, one of the complications that we have where we sort of have this thing where this reaction of like, oh, this is phony. And one thing was, you know, interesting to me, I think probably especially coming from the military, being deployed. And one of the big things that they tell, you know, other military moms or whatever, is like, hey, you know, if you're at the park and there's a mom there talking on the phone and they're not really paying attention to their kid, like you feel like they should, there's a chance they're talking to their husband for the first time in months. And they might not talk to him again for months. And I feel like this commercial, it highlights the complication of like, we understand and we watch this and we're like, hey, you know, something about this just isn't quite right. It's at the cost of other relationships. But if we're really honest with ourselves, anytime people are dating, it's at the cost of other relationships. I mean, right? Generally, people are sort of obnoxious when they're in that phase. Sort of siloed in their interests. But what I liked about this is that it sort of showcased the ability that we now have to connect, which actually a lot of studies show that phones and has increased our ability to connect in a positive way, has increased our ability to see people from different perspectives in a positive way. Because, you know, when we're friends, we like to hang out with people that are kind of like us. And it is really easy to get, you know, what they call the confirmation bias, where you're just around people that kind of agree with you and you start to think that everybody thinks like you do. It's a lot harder in person to find places where that's not the case. Now, here, there's probably something sort of unhealthy in that commercial. It's a little bit frightening that to me anyway, as a media guy, to go that, hey, this advertisement is like, who are you addicted to? And again, that idea of a positive connotation towards addiction that we now have with a lot of things related to technology. I don't know if the relationship is necessarily phony or not. But I do know that we have gateways to communicate with each other in ways that we didn't have before. The average person is going to spend approximately 2 hours on social media every day. Add that up, it's a lot of time. Obviously, it ranges a little bit depending on your age group. If you're over here, it's a little higher. You know, if you're a little older, it's a little lower. But on average, we spend a lot of time on it. You know, we've all heard stuff like this. It translates to about 5.5 years of your life over the course of your lifetime. And that number will probably go up higher and higher as we're just spending more and more time on it. We still watch more TV than we are on social media as an average, as a culture. YouTube's the biggest time eater. I mean, just watch one cat video after another, right? Facebook's the next biggest. And then after that is Instagram. And Snapchat are tied. Twitter is the next lowest. And I think that's because it probably has the most segmented user group. There's just, if you average it out, there's just fewer people on Twitter than on some of those other platforms. So we spend a lot of time on it. And if you do, if you look at research on it, you'll find a lot of things that are challenging to kind of try to unravel how this stuff works. You will find studies that are like, hey, social media is great. It's positive. It helps people feel better about themselves and increases connectiveness, especially in a world where one of the problems is we are actually getting busier and it is actually harder to find space for face-to-face connection. And that's not just because we're lazy or anything like that, but it's actually, it is people are working more, there are more demands, and it is actually harder to get together and hang out. So in some ways, social media and messaging apps actually might be a positive thing there. It's an easy way to relate. One of the things that they've found, though, is that you can't really replace face-to-face connection. One of the problems that we have with social media, and this is something for you if you're on it a lot, and a lot of this stuff, again, is this sermon is going to be a little bit more introspective, again, than I sort of thought it would be. But studies and personal experience reveal people tend to put their best foot forward while interacting on social media. Displays of emotional weakness, insecurity, or conflict generally tend to be concealed or minimized on social networking sites. It is often difficult, if not impossible, on social media to reveal the qualities that define deep, intimate relationships. While our social media friends offer us a great deal, it is not a true substitute or even supplement for real-life interaction with others. The most powerful, I found some studies that their findings indicated the best way to use social media is to as a something that causes face-to-face interactions to happen. One of the findings that I was really surprised by is actually with in human interaction, one of the better social media platforms is Snapchat. And I was like, why would that be? Snapchat. Turns out with Snapchat, because it disappears into the ether, sort of, when you're done with it, we're more likely to communicate the mundane. We're more likely to communicate just kind of random facts and tidbits about our life, which is key to building a strong relationship with another person. Whereas we're a lot less likely to post that on Instagram or on Facebook with Snapchat. And I'm not saying everybody should go get a Snapchat account. I'm just saying, I was like, that was interesting. The other thing about it that I found interesting is part of the reason Snapchat is so popular is because it mimics more of a real human interaction experience. Because you send me something, I send you something back, and it's gone, and we go back and forth, and it feels to us a lot more like a human interaction. And that's been part of why it's been so successful. I was like, that's very interesting. So we still need this human interaction. We still need but at the same time, sorry, I just lost my train of thought. I'm refining it. At the same time, we need this human interaction, and we can have these interactions that are positive on social media. But then you go and you find studies that say, the longer someone spends on social media, the more likely it is to be a detriment to their social well-being. And the more often that they get on over a span of 2 weeks, the more likely they are to have a long-term detrimental effect on their social well-being. And that one was one of the more fun ones to dig into and figure out, what on earth is the deal with this? Why can you find ones that are like, this is great, and find other ones that are like, look, the data really shows the more time you spend on social media, the worse it is for you. And the key difference seems to be passivity versus engagement. Which, like, well, that sort of makes sense if you think about it. But if you direct message somebody, I was trying to find something that actually broke this down to the point if like liking things or commenting on a post was part of that, but it seemed to be really specific, like direct messaging someone on Facebook, direct messaging someone with a text message using Kick and sending something straight to them, a direct Snapchat message, was a positive thing and built the relationship. What was negative is passive following. Scrolling is negative. It's not good for you. What do you do more the more you're on social media? Right? Just by nature of it. And what are probably, when I talk about passive following, what are probably the two biggest ones that come to mind? Instagram for sure. I'd say even more so on Facebook. There's another one. Twitter. Yep. I think there's one that's even more passive than Twitter. Although Twitter is Pinterest. Pinterest. That is as passive as you get. Super passive. It's as scrolly and passive as you get. I'm 16 and I have my house planned out, my wedding planned out, my spouse planned out, and I haven't even talked to another human about it. And I've got the next 10 years of my life's recipes planned out, and half of them no one's ever tried. So just think about that. One of the questions I want you to ask is when you're on social media platforms, is it just passive? Are you engaged with something? Are you bringing something good? Or are you just doing this? Okay. Higher social media usage does correlate to higher levels of perceived loneliness. Why exactly that is, I couldn't find anything that really broke down why that is the case. Because supposedly we connect more, all that stuff. A lot of people are like, hey, look, it just comes down to you just can't get around the need to hang out with people face to face is what I've seen. But I couldn't find anything that actually broke that down at a real deep level. Businesses have taken a major hit in productivity since the smartphone became a thing. I saw numbers down like 8% of paid business time just goes into the vapor because of waste of time on social media sites and texting. I saw one that was all the way up to 20%. It's pretty high. Billions and billions of dollars get wasted because people are on their phones and on their computers on social media sites. And that would be one thing, I think, especially as Christians. I just know at my work, I watch a lot of people spend a lot of time not working. And I think there'd be a lot of proverbs and things like that that you could really challenge yourself, like in your integrity, on how much of my time am I getting paid and I'm actually doing stuff for my employer. Because we live in a culture where it's kind of okay to waste your time. But I just challenge you to just kind of look at that as an integrity issue in your own heart. Like, I am getting paid to be here. I don't think they're paying me to see who just liked my Instagram photo. Maybe they are, depending on where you work, but probably odds are not likely. Okay. We talked about envy. The healthier you are in your own state of well-being, the more likely that your social media usage will be healthier, which makes sense. Whatever's in you is going to be what's going to come out of you, whether you're hanging out with people or whether you're posting on social media, right? So healthier you are, the more likely you are to just post things about your work, about your life, about your family. And it's just kind of, it's more generally positive. And you don't actually care that much what people think about it. You're just kind of sharing the good things that are going on or things that you care about. and it's not a negative thing. However, if you're not in a healthy emotional state, which studies would show that there's a decent amount of people in the world that are not in super healthy emotional states, the more likely that your social media usage will actually feed the negative, will not be positive, and will actually cause you to spiral. The thing about that that is maybe should be taken note of for Christians is that people that are not doing well are more likely to go to social media to try to deal with their problems. So you guys see the cycle there that would start? So if you feel like people are not doing well, you feel like people need love, trying to pull them into that more human interaction, trying to give them a platform and a place where they can connect and can find validation, because when they step into that other world, it feeds the bad. The narcissism goes up, the insecurities go up, all those little buttons get pushed. And, you know, generally people that are not in a healthy space take more energy and more work, are harder to connect with. And so it's easier to not. Next thing I'm going to talk about. So there was a great study that ARXS did, where they were studying emotional. They did five components of maturity, and it involved your emotional intelligence, your ability to read and empathize in emotions in others, your ability to control your own emotions, your ability to interpret your own emotions. They kind of went through five different kind of big components of emotional maturity. And in every, and this was, they targeted people ages 19 to 26. This was done about, I think, 2 years ago. And there was boys versus girls. And in every category, whichever way it was supposed to go, like if higher numbers were bad or if lower numbers were bad, that's the way the boys' scores went. In every single category. And they're like, it didn't used to be this way. The emotional maturity between the genders, emotional intelligence between the genders didn't used to be this different. But what they have found is that boys, men, living in fantasy worlds, particularly through video gaming, are probably losing their ability to really engage with the world as it actually exists. There's probably other things that are going on in men's world that might be challenging their ability to engage with the world as it actually exists. But when we talk about things that they like feed the bad, there's nothing wrong with video games. There's nothing inherently wrong with any media platform. They all are what they are. There's nothing wrong with cell phones. There's nothing wrong with video messaging apps. But why you're going to it and what your intention is with it, are you being intentional with it? Are you just on there scrolling? Are you engaging and bringing good to other people? Are you playing video games because it helps you cope with life? Those are all questions to ask and things to try to figure out, because they're not going to help you. They're not going to help you actually engage with problems when they arise. I work with a lot of gamers, and they've always got some study about how it increases your reflex time. I'm like, can you use that when? You don't even play sports. Well, but it's good for you. I mean, it might be. It probably is. But I don't know the last time I had a challenging discussion with my wife, and I was like, man, I'm so glad I've got good reflex time. I mean, maybe if she ever throws something at me. It helps with multitasking. The every study that I find that actually studies multitasking, humans can't really multitask. It's making me better at it. Maybe. Like, you might be able to switch your brain from one thing to the other quicker, but. And it is really good that you can keep track of which revolvers are in your backpack and which ammo you need for them. But, and I say all these things, like, I like video games. I don't play them a whole lot because I don't have time. I got 3 kids. I just don't have time. I have a wife. I have a job. I really like them. But as you're doing it, you're like, man, you know, kind of like where I asked last, it's like, where are you going? Like, what are you trying to get? What do you want? Is this actually helping you get there? Or is it just like, well, this is just what I'm doing? Am I finding my rest in God? Really? Or am I finding my rest in the world? Am I loving God or am I loving the world? When I'm pinning this thing on Pinterest, where's my heart? Is my heart set on a beautiful kitchen? On a perfect outfit? Is it set on God? When I'm spending my time scrolling, looking at photos, seeing how many likes mine got, whatever. Is my heart set on God? Is it set on other things? Am I loving the world? And again, none of these things are wrong in of themselves. I took all the social media apps off of my phone, not because they're wrong, but because I figured out, hey, I like the stuff on here enough, I can't actually like limit my time. You set me loose on Behance, I can be on there for hours, which probably none of you guys are on Behance, but it's Adobe's art. People post their artwork that they made using Adobe products. So it's tons of photography and drawings and animations, and it is book layouts. It is so cool. I could just stay on there forever. So I took it off my phone. I'm just going to do it for 5 minutes. But then the 5 minutes would be up and I'd be looking at somebody else's thing that I was like, oh, this is like this person's thing. And oh, this is really cool. Look at how she shaded that. The answer is not less, right? That's not just the answer. It might be the answer for you, but these things aren't necessarily evil in of themselves. And so I don't want people to just be like, well, I'm just going to get rid of them and it's just less. The challenge is as you're walking through your life, where are you finding your hope, your peace, your truth? Where are you finding that? Where are you finding your security? And those are the questions I want you to ask. Not looking at some app that monitors how much time you have and be like, well, 20 minutes on this one a day, I'm okay. Because that's not what it's about. God's not going to, when you get up to heaven, God's not going to look at you and be like, did you play more or less than 100 hours of PUBG? Which is a video game, if you don't know. It's very popular. Very popular. And it is a lot of fun. He's not going to do that. Because God doesn't actually, I mean, he knows everything, right? So he knows down to the second how much time you spend doing anything. But he's not up there like, so I've got a scorecard. He's like, did you abide in me? Did you look to me for these things? Or did you find your distraction? Stuff got hard and you went to that to help get you back to where you wanted to be. First John 4:10 and 11 says, real love isn't our love for God, but his love for us. God has sent his son to be sacrificed by which our sins are forgiven. Dear friends, since God loved us this much, we must love each other. That's what you're trying to engage with. And that's what I want you to ask as you're walking through this stuff. Am I engaging with that? Because somebody might be engaging in social media stuff for 10 hours and God's got them right there doing that for whatever reason. And someone might be way out of line by spending 10 minutes on it. I might be like, your heart is so not in the right place. It's not a quantity thing. It's not, well, you know, I mean, I've been in meetings where, or not meetings, but like people that I've known, I've talked to them, they're like, well, this one's bad, this app is bad, but this one's okay. No. Your heart is what God wants. He wants you not to love the world. He wants you to love him. He wants you to claw after his face. He wants you to learn how to walk the walk, the daily walk with him. That's why Jesus died for you. Stuff like that commercial, I think, is hard to understand and break down. There's things about it that scare me. The truth is, there are some human interaction things that have been made better by the advances in technology that we have. Those things have been made worse. And then the other thing, there was a study that was done that there's in a book my wife was reading, actually, where it was like, and this was for mice, but 2 hours of daily silence for mice, they grew new brain cells in a way that they didn't otherwise. And we live in a very noisy world. It is very hard to spend time in silence. And a lot of times we stop one thing and we kind of stick something else in the slot. I've tried to spend some time in silence. I go, boy, this is really funny that the monks are really big on silence. Most religions outside of Christianity that are really big on the understanding of the self are really big on silence. And not that we should necessarily go to Hinduism or Buddhism or meditation stuff to understand ourselves or the Bible, but I've just wondered more and more, and there's a lot of studies that are like, yeah, you just be quiet. It's good for you. Be in quiet. We live in a very noisy culture, very noisy world that does not want quiet. Because they can't sell you anything if it's quiet. And are we quiet enough that if God has a still small voice, we'll hear him? Or does he have to crack the earth open? Are you sitting there, cherishing his thoughts, waiting for them, praying, adoring him? Or does he have to break your leg to get your attention? We're all humans, right? We're hard-headed. You know, I get challenged all the time when I read the Old Testament. And I'm like, man, these guys saw God all the time, pillar of fire, stuff like that, and they were such knuckleheads. And I'm like, they're just like, I'm probably just like them, a knucklehead. Just as hard-headed, just as dumb. How could you miss this? Well, I don't know, but I think when I get to heaven, I'm going to look back at my life and I'm going to go, how did I miss that? And God's like, I don't know. Man, I love you, but geez. What's your deal? You're so special. And you do the most special things. So, that's what I want to challenge you with. Going into next week. But just think about what you're doing. Be intentional. Don't let it just happen. The worst that this stuff seems to do to you is when you're just scrolling through it, when you're not actively engaging in it, which oddly enough is true in so many areas of life. Our eating, our fitness, our speech. When you're not being intentional with your speech, do you say dumb things? At least I do a lot more often. When you're not being thinking about what you eat, what happens? You eat worse. And again, with media stuff, it seems to sort of like escape this same level of judgment. You guys remember last week we talked about the donut thing? We're just like, I think I'm okay. I mean, when I eat a donut, I realize this is bad for me. But when I just watch a movie for 2 hours, I just assume it's just a thing. And I go, well, actually, there might be negative side effects to this, or at least side effects. And I think with Instagram and Pinterest and Facebook, we can kind of have a similar attitude where it's like, it's all good, right? Like, whatever, I'm good. But the reality is we live in a world with a God that desperately wants to connect with us, desperately wants to love other people through us. And I just want you to ask yourself that question is, are you connecting with that greater truth the next time you play a video game? And you might be, maybe you're playing with a buddy. I got on Fortnite the other day to play with a friend. I played for about 45 minutes and that was it. If you look at my, I've had Fortnite on my computer for a little over a month now, and my total play time is an hour. 45 minutes of it was with that friend, and the other 15 minutes was making sure I at least knew how to pick weapons up so he didn't just die because of me. And that was it. So, and I'm not, again, saying it's wrong or anything, but is it, there are times, right? You can build relationships. There's good. But ask yourself those questions. Challenge yourself there. Am I actually connecting with God? The God who made me, who knit me together? Or am I trying to fill up a void in my life with something other than him? And am I actually listening for it? Or am I just hoping he shows up loud enough that I'll drop my phone and notice? Or pull my earbuds out and notice? Or stop getting mad at my coworker and notice? It's not just this stuff. It's our heart all over the place. So, all right, let's pray. God, you are awesome. And I thank you so much that you love me. You care about me. You care about everybody here. And I pray you would allow us to seek you in all, and not just with media, but in every area of our life, and be like, God, are you here? Is this where you want me to be? Am I walking through life with you? Or am I just walking through life by myself? Do I really trust you as my shepherd? Am I believing you're going to lead me? And God, we have so many things that we believe are normal. So many things in our culture that are just like, yeah, this just is the way it is. But God, I don't want to be normal. I really want to be a man who leads his family in a different place, is subjected to you, finds his peace in you, overflows with you so I can love my kids, so I can love my wife, so I can love the others around me. God, I don't do that so often. So God, I just pray you'd make us people that are willing to give things up to pursue you, that are willing to self-assess, that are willing to bring things before you and give them up or change how we engage with them so we can actually see truth that you want to give us, receive comfort from you, and receive your thoughts. God, I thank you for who you are. I thank you all wisdom comes from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right, thanks, Josh. Josh, what are we doing next week?
We're going to talk about intimacy with God and others. So, sort of tease some of the stuff tonight, but...